You are Locked On Chargers, your daily
Los Angeles
Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. Today is November 13th, and you're listening to Locked On Chargers. I'm your host, Matthew Stanley. And before I start talking football, I want to take a second to say a very happy birthday to my wife, Trina. It's her birthday today, and if any of you want to do me a favor, go blow up her Twitter account with some happy birthday wishes. Her Twitter is at Treealee, T-R-E-E-A-L-E-E. I'd really appreciate it. That'd be fun. Thanks. All right, but enough of that, and on to the football. And let's talk about this loss from yesterday. The Chargers lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars 20-17 in overtime. This game was frustrating. I wanted so badly to enjoy the game, but I had this impending sense of doom through the whole game, and it just became more and more frustrating as I watched. And there was a bunch of reasons for that. But as always, today's show is just an overview of things that went down. I'll dive into and discuss in more detail the specifics of what went good and what went bad on Tuesday and Wednesday. But I want to talk about a couple reasons why this game was so frustrating to watch. First off was that the Chargers actually did so many things right in this game. The defense only gave up one touchdown all game. I mean, almost everything the defense did was right and gave the Chargers multiple chances to win. They held the Jaguars offense to only one touchdown all game. They held the league's best rushing offense to 79 yards on the ground. A team that was averaging, they were averaging almost 200 yards per game, and they held them to under 80 yards. And yes, I'm throwing out the 56-yard fake punt because that's on the special teams. That's not on the defense. It was the punt coverage team that was out on the field. It wasn't the defense. So I'm not counting that against them. The defense also had two interceptions, although it probably should have been more like four. Rivers didn't have an interception during regulation, and for the most part, he threw a good game. I mean, yeah, he pretty much, fell apart there at the end, but he's not the reason they lost the game. Austin Eckler was flat out amazing every time he touched the ball. I mean, that guy he creates for himself in a way that we haven't seen in a long time watching the Chargers. Eckler is just, he's so fun to watch every time he gets the ball that he needs more carries. It needs to be at least more of a 50-50 split with Melvin Gordon, if not at this point giving Eckler a slight majority of the touches, because Melvin Gordon just continues to not progress and continues to look ineffective whenever he has the ball in his hands out of the backfield. So, Denzel Perryman came back and had a huge game. I mean, it was a transcendent performance at linebacker compared to what the Chargers have had this year. He came out and he had 8 solo tackles. 4 of those were run stops, which means a tackle in the run game that is within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage, no more than 2 yards downfield, or a tackle for a loss. He had 4 of those, plus without making the tackle himself, he caused 2 more run stops by just blowing up the play. And you could definitely tell that his being back boosted Jatavis Brown. I mean, Jatavis Brown, he looked rejuvenated. He looked like a new player yesterday. It was really nice to see the linebackers actually doing well yesterday. I mean, even Corey Toomer did well. He had a couple missed tackles. But, I mean, the linebacking group as a whole didn't look like a liability yesterday. And I'm giving full credit to that, to Denzel Perryman. His presence on the field alone was just gigantic in the game yesterday. And then you move forward on the line, you move forward on the defense, and Joey Bosa just, he played out of his damn mind yesterday. He was all over the place. He it seemed like he was getting a pressure anytime he wanted to. He made a couple stops in the run game. I mean, Joey was, he was impacting the game almost every play. He was just fantastic yesterday. And even Nick Novak got in on the good things yesterday, and he hit a 50-yard field goal. I mean, and to wrap it up, they got the offense wound up getting 235 passing yards against the league's best pass defense, who was on average only giving up 156 yards a game. And the Chargers' two touchdowns on offense came as passing touchdowns. Versus a Jaguars defense who had only given up 4 passing touchdowns this entire year. They matched half of that in one game. I mean, it was just so frustrating that they lost that game after the Chargers went out and did so much right yesterday. The fact that they did all of those things made the bad decisions and the loss that much harder to deal with. The second most frustrating thing to me was the officiating. That was a flat-out awful game. There were so many straightforward calls that were missed. I can't wait to see the league try and explain, although they probably won't. They'll probably just ignore the fact that it happened. But I would like to see the league try to explain why, on a play where Phillip Rivers was both hit in the head and hit late and low, there was no flag thrown. I mean, they keep harping that they care about player safety and that that's the focus, and they keep creating rules to protect the quarterback, and then you see that happen right in the official's face, and you're just like, what the hell? I mean, Phillip Rivers got hit in the head he got hit basically in the face as Yannick Ngakoue was trying to deflect a pass. And I mean, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't egregious or anything. He wasn't like trying to punch Phil in the head, but there was contact. It happened. And that's a flaggable offense. And then to compound that, over about a second later, you have a defender coming from the other side diving below Rivers' knees at the back of his legs and flipped him head over heels. It was just, how was there no flag on that? I was enraged. And then, there was multiple offenses like that. I mean, when Corey Legit drew the Jaguars offsides, I'm sorry, but looking at the replay, it does not look like Corey Legit got back out of the neutral zone before the Jaguars offensive player moved. That was a garbage call. And then there was, the play before that was the extremely blatant hands to the face where Chris McCain got poked in the eye, and there was an official literally 5 yards from where that happened staring directly at the left tackle and Chris McCain, and had an unobstructed view and didn't blow the flag, didn't throw a flag at all. How do you miss that? I mean, you go on and on with this game. There were so many instances of bad officiating. When Blake Bortles had that shovel pass and his knee was pretty obviously down, and they had to call that back after a review. I mean, I could go on and on. It was one of the worst officiated games I have ever seen, and I think the league should be embarrassed. It was a pathetic display of officiating. Now, I'm not blaming the loss on the officiating. Like I just mentioned, the Chargers did so many things right. They should have been in position to win that game. They put themselves in position to win that game, and they lost it themselves. I'm not, the officiating didn't lose them the game, but it was piss poor officiating. And it hurts the integrity of the game when the officiating is that bad. I mean, it wasn't just Chargers fans complaining about the officiating online. You saw every Jaguars fan I follow on Twitter was also complaining about the officiating. And it was just awful. The league should be embarrassed. But will anything happen? Probably not. I doubt there'll be any sort of repercussions for the officiating crew. I doubt there'll be a statement from the NFL at all that it's going to go unnoticed, but I want to point out just how awful it was. The third most frustrating thing to me was that if the Chargers had even an average special teams, they probably win this game. Giving up that fake punt for a touchdown, especially when the Jaguars had run that exact fake earlier in the year against the Baltimore Ravens, is just inexcusable. I mean, do the Chargers actually work on special teams at practice, or do they just kind of begrudgingly acknowledge it's a part of the game and, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it? It was so bad to watch that. And then it wasn't just the fake punt. I mean, rookie Rayshon Jenkins made another boneheaded penalty this week on special teams. He was actively blocking a player who was already out of bounds. And he's made one of those dumb mistakes almost once a week. And it's getting harder and harder to chalk it up to him being a rookie rather than him just not being very good or not being coached correctly. And then the return, there's questionable decisions on the return teams as well. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say it, but the league literally gives you a quarter of the field for free if you just take a knee in the end zone on the kickoff. And every single time the Chargers try to bring it out, and 9 times out of 10 fail to even reach the 20-yard line. You're giving up 6 or more yards almost every kick return because, you know, you're hoping for this miracle to happen. That's, if you're being honest with yourself, it's just not going to happen. The Chargers at this time do not have a returner that even threatens the possibility of returning for a touchdown. So just take the knee. Give yourself a quarter of the field for free and just take the knee. The last frustrating thing I want to point out is, I mean, I'll make this the last one because this isn't the things that went bad episode and I want to move on. But to me, it didn't look like there was really any coaching adjustments made for the positive during the bye week. The team continued to ignore Hunter Henry in the pass game. They threw a pass to him on the first play of the game, and they threw the ball in his direction one other time during the game, and that was it. Hunter Henry was not a part of the offense yesterday. They still aren't getting Melvin Gordon out to the edge, where he succeeds better, because once he's out on that edge, he usually doesn't have as many decisions to make. When they keep trying to run him inside, he's got to make a couple decisions extremely quickly, and it's becoming very obvious that he's not good at doing that. So get him out to the edge where he has a little bit longer time to make a decision, and he'll succeed more often. I don't know why that's so hard. And then, I was going to blame Anthony Lynn on that 4th-and-1 for not going for it, but Melvin Gordon proved once again that you can't count on him to get 1 yard when you need it. It's so much of a question mark that he's going to be able to get it or not, that Anthony Lynn has a legitimate argument for not trying for it on 4th-and-1. Unless you want to give the ball to Austin Eckler, and then you're probably going to get it, because Austin Eckler not only is making better reads and better decisions than Melvin Gordon, but he creates for himself better than Melvin Gordon. I mean, shit, even Keenan Allen had finished a run better yesterday than any of Melvin Gordon's runs. When they ran that sweep to Keenan Allen, and he lowered his shoulder and bowled over the defender, that was a better finish than any of Melvin Gordon's runs. Melvin Gordon has a serious problem, and he needs to get it figured out. A couple of quick positive notes from the game: Joey Bosa just became the second youngest player to hit 20 career sacks, and he just beat out Sean Merriman by who is third by about 2 months. Bosa is just, he's on an insane run to begin his career. He's outpacing basically every other pass rusher in history since they started recording pass rushing stats. And he's just destroying it. I mean, I think I saw a stat from Pro Football Focus that, and while I don't completely agree that each of their hurries count as, you know, are productive, it's still a stat that they're tracking. And in their first 21 games of their career, Joey Bosa is in first place by almost 10 hurries. He's got 106 hurries in his first 21 games. He's averaging 6 hurries a game almost. It's just insane that he impacts the game so much, and it's so fun to watch. Also in the stats column, Phillip Rivers passed Warren Moon to become the 8th all-time. He moved into 8th place all-time for career completions, and he passed 4,000 career completions. So he finished the game with 4,005 completions for his career, which puts him 118 behind John Elway for 7th place, which if you look at the pace he's been on so far this season, before this game he had like 176 completions, I want to say, 173, somewhere in there. And then he added 21 more yesterday. So at the halfway point, he was at 170-ish. At this point, if he continues this pace, around week 15 or 16, he'll pass John Elway for 7th all-time in career completions. In other news around the league, the Bills lost today, which means the Chargers are still in the hunt for the second wild card slot, unfortunately. The caveat there is that there's 6 teams ahead of the Chargers in line for that spot. A few of them have some tiebreakers over the Chargers, but the other 3 and 6 teams, there's only one. I think the Broncos are the only 3 and 6 team that lose a tiebreaker to the Chargers because of conference record. But the other 3 and 6 teams all have better conference records, so they have the tiebreakers there. Then the 4 and 4 teams, the Chargers actually hold a head-to-head tiebreaker over the Oakland Raiders, but the Miami Dolphins have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Chargers. And then, so yeah, it's still a long shot at this point. There are so many teams in the hunt. And the Bills themselves still have a 1-game lead for themselves on that spot. So even if they, you know, split their games 50-50 the rest of the way, they're looking pretty good. The Chargers would need to almost win out at this point to have a chance. I mean, I doubt it's going to be any less than 9-7. There's no way it's going to drop to 8-8. So the Chargers need to win 6 of their last 7 games to win. I mean, to make the playoffs, and it's not going to happen. I'm not going to ridicule or blame anyone for still having hope. I mean, more power to you. I guess I'm just not that positive a person, and I'd rather not give myself false hope. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised at this point. So, I mean, I just don't think the Chargers deserve to be a playoff team at this point. The playoff teams don't make the multiple dumb mistakes the Chargers did this week. Playoff teams find ways to win close games. They don't lose them at the last minute seemingly every time. In new ways every time. And playoff teams learn how to make adjustments and stick with what's working and ditch what's not working. And the Chargers haven't shown that they can do that this year. So, to me, the playoffs are out of reach at this point. All right, well, that does it for this morning. I've been your host, Matthew Stanley. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver or over at LockedOnLAC, at LockedOnLAC. Please remember to share this podcast with your friends and Please remember to share this podcast with your friends and family. Go ahead and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Podbean. We're on Overcast. And if you don't have a favorite podcast platform, you can always listen online. I post streamable versions of the podcast on Bolts from the Blue and over on our new website at LockedOnChargers.com. LockedOnChargers.com. All right, everybody. Try to enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all again tomorrow.